didn't want it, particularly Senator Feinstein, who's my senator. I tried contacting her. She wouldn't even talk to me. She never said one word to me. She was on the Intelligence Committee. She was working to get immunity for the phone company. She was on the other side, and she today is now the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. So that's the fox guarding the chicken house for you. As soon as Obama was elected the Democratic nominee to be the presidential candidate for president in June 2008, he switched sides and came out in favor of an immunity bill. And, you know, and Pelosi jumped on board and Harry Reid was on board. And so in July 2008, they passed the immunity bill for phone companies. So the point is, it was a bipartisan effort. The Democrats were in it as much as the Republicans in covering up this whole mess.
And what does that mean for us going forward, Mark? Does that mean that the phone companies can collude with the NSA whenever they want to, you know, allow internet traffic or phone calls to be listened to?
Evidently so. They got the green light as a result of that fight to do, as far as I can see, more or less whatever they want. Who's the overseer in Congress? Senator Feinstein? Good luck.
Mark Klein was never censured. He didn't go to jail. But he says challenging the U.S. government at a time when people were being locked away as enemy combatants was a frightening thing to do. You're listening to The Story. In the end, though, Mark thinks the country is better off when such documents come to light.
I think it was a good thing that was brought out into the public domain so everybody's aware of what the government is doing. That, at least, is a step forward. You can argue from there about what to do about it, but at first you have to know what the facts are. That's also why I'm in favor of what WikiLeaks is doing, because WikiLeaks is exposing the secrets that the government doesn't want you to know about and the secrets that the American media won't let you find out because the American media doesn't report on it.
And some people are also saying that WikiLeaks goes too far, that it's almost indiscriminate in terms of, you know, sending out all this information that, you know, has one government saying something critical of another government, and diplomatic relations will go, you know, down the toilet as a result of that. Is this the kind of thing that you just have to tolerate if you're going to put it all out there?
I think you have to. WikiLeaks, with all its warts and problems, they've done a good thing. And now governments are going after them to try to put them out of business. And whatever criticisms you might have of how WikiLeaks operates, I think is quite secondary to the fact that they need to be defended against government repression at this point, because this is a matter of finding out what the government is doing to us.
And I'm sure you noticed when Daniel Ellsberg spoke up in defense of WikiLeaks and Julian Assange.
Right, of course. Good for him.
I mean, you think it makes a difference to hear that?
Well, yes. If more people did that, it might turn the tide. Because, you see, what enables a witch hunt is when people hear all the authorities in the country speaking out and isolating and denouncing a certain group, then suddenly everybody figures, oh, they must be really bad. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. But if figures of importance speak out in defense of the pariah of the day, that helps to break down the witch hunt atmosphere. Senator Lieberman got Amazon to oust WikiLeaks just by the Homeland Security Committee, which Lieberman chairs, giving a call, phoning up Amazon saying, oh, we don't like your relationship with this group. Well, how does that smack you? That's pure McCarthyism. What's next? Next they'll have a McCarthyite attorney general's list of bad organizations that you shouldn't have anything to do with, and people who are associated will get fired.
Mark Klein says he did everything he could to hold AT&T accountable for colluding with the NSA to spy on Americans. And none of his former co-workers joined him in speaking out.
I did not expect to hear from them because they're scared. They're afraid of losing their job, and here I am, suddenly a pariah myself, being criticized by the government as, you know, leaking sensitive information. It would be scary for them to be associated with me. And so initially I didn't hear from them. Later I did. But initially I didn't, and I can understand why.
I'm just curious to know how lonely an exercise it is to choose to be a whistleblower when you're taking on something as big as government.
Well, you have to have friends who understand what you did and don't essentially don't care when the government denounces you because they don't like the government either. But you have to have friends who are, you know, thinking similar ways. So
and neighbors, nobody said, you know, geez, you're
no. In fact,
you're a troublemaker.
In fact, the first time I was on TV, I think it was a PBS. After that show aired, I had a couple of neighbors come to my door and say they wanted to thank me for what I did. And so my neighbors were friendly. I was surprised. They actually left a little gift on my door, a little card with, you know, statements of support and stuff like that.
Must have been kind of encouraging.
Yeah, very much.
Mark Klein joined me from a studio in San Francisco, and we have a link to his webpage on ours, and you can find us at thestory.org. Eloisa Tamez also has experience facing down the government. She lives in the rural community of El Calaboz. It's on the northern bank of the Rio Grande River, just west of Brownsville, Texas. She found out that her land is on the path of that proposed border wall, and she found out that the government wanted her land when she got a phone call at her office.
I picked up the phone after it rang, and on the other end was an agent from the Border Patrol who identified himself and said that they had been looking for me because they wanted to notify me that my property was in the path of the border wall. And so I said to him that it seemed to me like it was pretty serious business that they wanted to discuss with me, and that I didn't believe that I could conduct that kind of conversation over the phone. And so if they wanted to talk to me about anything of the kind, that they would have to come to see me personally and show me the documents that they were talking about.
Eloisa stood firm in her belief that she should not have to give up even a part of her land for the government's wall. And it became contentious. For a time, she wouldn't allow the government agents on her land. She sued. But in the end, she was required to give up some of her land for that wall. I first spoke with Eloisa a little over 2 years ago. And we called her back recently to find out the next chapter in her story. Eloisa says she continued to speak out and say that what the government was doing was wrong. She sent a letter to everyone she could think of, even President Obama. Last year, she got word that some of her fighting had paid off.
So I really created a lot of ruckus, and it was all intentional. I agree to that. It was intentional because my take was, government, you have taken my land, you have built the wall across it. You can do all that, but you cannot keep me from using my voice. And so I made a big ruckus, and I received a call from my lawyer saying that no more taking of the Tamez land. So even though I never got an answer from President Obama, there must have been something done. Something happened that they stopped.
Eloisa Tamez says she would love to see the wall taken down, but she's a realist. She's 75, and she thinks it won't likely happen in her lifetime.
You know, being able to speak out and voice the injustice is a way to symbolically to be able to get that wall down. I raised my voice and said, no, you can't take my land. I have rights. A triumph, even though the wall is there, it was a triumph.
We spoke with Eloisa Tamez from her home near El Calaboz in Texas. Coming up next on the program, a couple of weeks ago, two brothers, Eric and Carl Bly, were here with me on the story. We talked about Carl's daring escape, jumping from an East German cruise ship off the coast of Miami. Uta Grobe was in the car with her mother when that story was on the